Well, there's not much I like better than maple syrup, especially if I can put it on vanilla ice cream. This is sort of the maple syrup. Not sort of. This is the maple syrup season in Wisconsin. There's a maple syrup festival coming up this Saturday at the McKenzie Environmental Education Center in Poinette. We're going to talk about that and talk about maple syrup production and producers, maple syrup producers here in Wisconsin, with two guests for you today. Derek Duane is the director of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center in Poinette. Derek, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
Really appreciate it. Ruth Ann Lee is the lead educator of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center in Poinette. And Ruth Ann, thank you for coming by as well.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I really appreciate you both being here today. Maybe first, tell us a little bit about the McKenzie Environmental Center. You want to talk about that a bit, Ruth Ann?
Sure.
What it's all about? I'm sure a lot of people know, but...
Well, most people, when they think of Poinette, they think of our state game farm and the pheasant rearing program. But the McKenzie Center is a neighbor to the game farm. It has a very strong history of getting kids outdoors and doing some hands-on environmental education programming. So we're celebrating our 50th year this year. So it was founded in 1961. Mm-hmm. And we're very excited. Our mission is pretty simple. It's getting kids outside, doing hands-on outdoor skills, environmental education programming. And, you know, we want them to learn. It's an outdoor classroom. And hopefully then they'll make some wise choices as they get older.
Let's talk about maple syrup. You know, how did the McKenzie Center happen to get hooked up here with maple syrup and maple syrup production? Part of the education aspect of this, Derek.
Right. We've been doing the maple syrup program since the mid-1980s. Our educators at that time thought it would be a great way to teach kids about the forestry resource. And what better way to do that than talk about sugar maple trees and learn about that the resource that we get from them. And that would be the maple syrup.
Yeah. And, you know, we're a maple syrup state, and it goes back a long ways. I mean, it's not the white people who were the first ones collecting maple syrup, Ruth Ann.
Oh, not at all. Part of our education program touches on that. We share different Native American legends that we believe to be true. Native Americans have been known to move around, and so we share with the students how they would move from their winter home to their springtime home so that they could have that benefit. They didn't do syrup, but they would do sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually cooking the sap well beyond the syrup stage. And then they could preserve and store the actual sugar for food purposes.
So it's been going on a long, long time here in the state. Where do we stand in terms of maple production within the states? I'm sure there are probably some other states ahead of us, but...
According to a recent report from the United States Department of Agriculture, Wisconsin is number four.
Number four. Let me guess, some eastern states ahead of us? Northeastern states?
Yes. We've got New York is a pretty good one. Maine is a big one.
Yeah.
And Vermont is the biggest.
Yeah, Vermont is well known for its maple syrup as well. But we produce some pretty good maple syrup here.
Yeah. Last year, in 2010, I'm sorry, it was 117,000 gallons produced here in Wisconsin.
I'll tell you what, a gallon or two made it through the Mueller household.
We do warn people that making maple syrup can be very addicting, not only the process of making maple syrup, but the flavor and the taste and the different ways you can enjoy it.
Well, we have some callers online. By the way, if you'd like to join us, you can. Just give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Dan in Partyville's up. Dan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call. This is my second year making maple syrup. I tapped my two big maples about 3.5 weeks ago. The first 2 days I got maybe 15 gallons of sap, and then the weather turned real warm and they stopped. Then the weather turned real cold and they never started. Yesterday I got maybe a quart, and I've got four spiles in. Do I need to re-tap or will that start again?
No, Dan. Making maple syrup is weather dependent, and you need cold nights, preferably in the 20s, and then warm days. You have to have that sequence. Cold nights, warm days, preferably into the upper 30s and lower 40s. And once you stop that temperature regime, the flow will stop. Mm-hmm. So you do not need to retap. You just need to give Mother Nature a chance here, which it's doing this week. We've got the cold nights right now. We'll have warm days, and that sap will flow again.
Okay. One other question. Now, it says the sap shouldn't freeze. I've been keeping it cold by covering my container. I've got hoses coming out, and I got it going into a big garbage can. I've been keeping it cold with snow. Is that going to hurt it?
No. What hurts it more is if the sap gets warm and the bacteria will start growing in that sap, then you lose the quality very quickly.
It's cold because there's ice crystals in it. That's good.
You're just fine.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And George in Madison, let's go to you. Hi, George.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I was just wondering how they tapped it and how they cooked it.
Mm-hmm. So what's that whole process then of tapping and then cooking down the syrup?
Well, when sap, most maple trees, a sugar maple tree in particular, will run anywhere from 3 to 5% sugar in the sap. The rest is all water. By the time you put it on your pancakes, it's close to 66%. Mm-hmm. And so you concentrate that sap by evaporation. By the boiling process. And so you tap, put your spile in the tree, you collect your syrup, your sap.
You take a drill or something and drill a hole in the tree, or what do you do?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. At McKenzie, we're using, a brace and a bit, so no power drills, but you surely could use a power drill. You tap your spile in there, you hang your bucket to capture the sap. It's heated from that 3 or 5% sugar all the way to 66. And we use a refractometer to measure the percentage in both the sap and the sugar as it's cooking.
You typically tap about an inch to an inch and a half into the tree to make sure you're into the sapwood part of the tree. And then, again, when the weather cooperates, you'll get a good sap flow. And you don't necessarily have to tap a sugar maple to make that happen. Around the Madison area, there's a lot of soft maples that work quite well.
That can work as well. Well, I'll tell you what, along with that, we've heard some things about what's the best, the first run and this and that. And you had a quote from John Burroughs, I believe, who said, "The first run, like first love, is always the best, always the fullest, always the sweetest." That's a great quote. I love that quote. Is it true?
That is the truth, yes.
Why is it? Is it the sugar higher then?
Typically, the sugar content in a tree is higher at the beginning of the season than the end of the season. Part of it might just be the excitement of spring, excitement to be outside.
Yeah. That could be as well. George, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Tom in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hello. My question is the maple the only species that you use? Is it because from what I'm learning, the sugar content, or syrup or sap is sap from different species? Can you use other trees?
All right.
Yes, you can use some other trees. The sugar maple is the best because it has the highest sugar content. The soft maple is another good one. You will have to evaporate more sap to get a gallon of syrup. But another tree that's very, very common here in Wisconsin is called the box elder. It's in the sugar family, the maple family, and you could get some excellent syrup just from tapping a box elder tree, which most people consider
a junky tree.
A junk weed tree, yes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, and in Canada, they traditionally make birch syrup, and they use the birch tree. However, the sugar content is a lot less than our maples, and it takes them probably, 50-some gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup, where a sugar maple tree at 3% is about 28 gallons of sap for 1 gallon of syrup. So a lot more time consuming, a lot more work.
Yeah, but even then, if you think even at the good maples or sugar maples, if you've got to boil down 28 gallons to get 1 gallon, you can see what, and it's wood fire or whatever you're using, you can see where why maple syrup would be more expensive than, say, I don't know, some no-calorie syrup that you buy in the store.
Yeah, we always challenge people to read the ingredient list on the syrup they buy from the grocery store, because chances are it doesn't say maple in it at all. It's all corn syrup. So pure maple syrup will actually say pure maple syrup on it.
And speaking of cost, last year in Wisconsin, 1 gallon of of pure maple syrup was selling for $37. Yeah. A gallon. That's on wholesale.
But, a gallon of that lasts a little of it goes a long way on pancakes or whatever.
Yes, it does.
So it lasts a long time. Yeah. Well, there you go, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot
for
calling. Tom. Appreciate your call. And Tom in Sparta. Let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Larry. Your conversation reminds me of growing up on a dairy farm in Clark County, and your guest mentioned the excitement of spring. And while we did all the things you do on a dairy farm, it was making maple syrup in the spring that really kind of got everybody excited, and there's a real communal dimension to it. Not only our immediate family, but my grandfather came out and was kind of the master boiler until he was in his through his 80s, and my dad's cousins, who were also farmers, kind of brought them all together. I don't think they did it out of obligation. I think they did it because it was a great way to get outside and do something in the spring before all the other field work and stuff would come together. And now I'm working in the city and stuff, but you still kind of pay attention to the weather and, freezing at night and warming up in the day and thinking of the sap running and gathering sap and things like that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We had another quote from John Burroughs. He says, "A sap run is the sweet goodbye of winter. It's the fruit of the equal marriage of the sun and the frost."
Yeah.
And you know what? You're also right, I think, in that it's a social event for people too.
Yeah. There's one problem with it, though.
What's that?
Well, when you've grown up and all you've had is maple syrup on pancakes, it's really hard to go to someone's house or go to eat and order pancakes. So you look for restaurants that serve real maple syrup, like MEJ's in Stevens Point or the White Gull Inn in Fish Creek.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a few others.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thanks, Tom.
Sure.
Appreciate the call.
That's interesting that he says that, because in my house I have a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old daughter, and they refer to it as the real stuff and the fake stuff.
Oh, that's great. Well, we don't have any of the fake stuff in our house. I don't think my wife would allow any of that in there. It's a great thing to have. Ray in Appleton, hi.
Hi, I just called in to poo-poo all the romanticism about maple syrup. The reason I say that, we've made 17 gallons already up in northern O'Connell County, but everything has been gathered on snowshoes, and we went up there last Wednesday during the snowstorm with 16 new inches of snow on the ground.
Oh.
We have 500 taps out, and everything has been done on snowshoe. How would you like to carry 2 5-gallon pails of sap from the woods to your trailer? We pick it up with a 325-gallon gathering tank. But so far, our syrup has been about 2%. We have a mix of sugar maple and red maple, and it has been dark with a high sugar sand content. We're at grade A medium amber to dark amber on a Vermont scale. The other thing I was going to say is, while you're talking about birch sap, it makes a wonderful wine. You can make it almost like a Chablis.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, what you do is you use the grapes to get the must, and you use lemon to get the tartness, and then your sugar. And it makes a very fine sap. You'll find some of the recipes. One other recipe I'll give you, and this was done this last weekend by Phil Seeley, a watercolor artist from Appleton, whose grandfather gave him this recipe, and he calls it Maple Mayhem. You take 2 shots of Beefeater's gin over ice, and then add fresh, warm maple syrup, 1 jigger, and blend.
Ooh.
And it is excellent. And one other thing I'll add is that I'm now making up small jugs of maple syrup. I'm going to be leading a group study exchange to Japan in October, and we're going to be giving these as house gifts to the Japanese when we get there.
Oh.
Wonderful gift.
Oh, that's a wonderful gift. Right.
Yep, we just enjoy doing it, and we've had children all over the place on the trailer going out. It's the best time of the year.
Thanks, Roy. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about maple syrup here in Wisconsin with Derek Duane and Ruth Ann Lee. Derek's director of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center. Ruth Ann Lee, lead educator at the McKenzie Environmental Education Center. And they've got the Maple Syrup Festival this Saturday. Tell you, we'll talk about that coming up. And so if you've got the time, I hope you'll attend. We'll talk about that in just a minute or two. But when you call, by the way, Judith Serres-Poisson, our producer, answers the phones, and she does a great job every day. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking maple syrup with our guest today, Derek Duane and Ruth Ann Lee. Thank you so much for listening in. If you have a question or a comment, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Our last caller mentioned a couple of recipes, and as a matter of fact, I think Ruth Ann gave us some recipes, and we posted them on our Facebook page. So if you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, we have, let's see, what do we have up? We have chewy maple cookies, maple oatmeal muffins, and here's one that I'm looking forward to, maple rhubarb muffins. I love rhubarb anyway, and so... those are three that Judith was able to put up for us on the Facebook page. So just go to the Larry Mueller Show and you'll find it. This festival and a lot of the work that gets done here, we should really really mention that the Friends of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center are really behind a lot of this, aren't they, Derek, or all of it maybe, Derek?
Well, they're behind a huge part of it. We start conducting education programs with students the first week of March. And this year we've got over 1,500 students signed up to go through the two-hour maple tours. And it's impossible to do that with the staff we have at McKenzie. We've got Ruth Ann, our lead educator, and two other educators. And that's about it. So it's impossible to do it without volunteer help.
Sure.
And this year we have, I want to say, 65 volunteers that help with
great.
The fun part of sap collecting, the guided tours with the kids, and all the different interpretive stations that go along with the program, and including the demonstration of boiling the sap and finishing it, and the whole gamut of making maple syrup the kids get a chance to do.
Our friends group put in last year over 3,000 volunteer hours just with our sugar maple program.
Just with that.
Just with maple. I mean, they do, you know, hundreds of hours on other, you know, volunteer things throughout the year, but maple is by far our most concentrated volunteer time.
And I believe your website is...
It's
if you just go to the McKenzie Environmental Education Center, if you type that in.
You can do that, or you can go to the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation's website and click on the buffalo. It's kind of our mascot of sorts, and it'll take you straight to the McKenzie Center pages. Tells you all about the center, our education programs, and some of our community events like our festival this Saturday.
And I think, Judith, did we put that up on our Facebook page? Yeah, Judith's got her thumb up. She does all this. Judith put up the site on our Facebook page as well. So when you go to look for the recipes or you just want to find that site, just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you will find it. And this event, I want to make sure we talk a little about this event on Saturday, the Maple Syrup Festival. Mm-hmm. You've been leading these tours and now we've got this.
Well,
a grand finale in a way, I suppose. What's it all about?
Yeah, it kind of wraps up our maple season. So visitors that day get guided tours of our sugar bush and can learn how to tap a tree just like the school kids have done all of March. So they'll have demonstrations on how to tap the tree and how to make syrup. We talk a lot about how Native Americans may have made sugar, how early pioneers have influenced that process. Then we incorporate a lot of other fun things like horse-drawn wagon rides throughout the property and homemade ice cream that's kind of turned with an antique engine, and then of course we've got to top it with the maple syrup. And there's some live old country music. The pancake breakfast. Last year we served 600-700 people during our pancake breakfast with pure maple syrup again. So it's a lot of fun. It's a good way to celebrate spring. And this Saturday the weather's supposed to be nice, and so we're looking for a good attendance.
And the time on it starts at 8 in the morning, isn't it?
The event itself is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then the pancake breakfast is from 8 to noon.
8 to noon, okay.
Right. The event itself is free, so there's no charge to come out and explore and learn something new. There's a small expense for pancake breakfast at only $7 for adults, but the event itself is free, so people are encouraged to come out and check us out.
I'm hoping that we can do that. Renee and I and daughter Emily, we have a 7-year-old at home who loves maple syrup too. So perfect. I'm hoping that we can get up there on Saturday. So it's 8 to 2, but the breakfast is 8 to noon.
Correct.
And for the location, actually, if you go to the website, you're going to find pretty straightforward directions. But give it to us so that people have a general idea.
Yeah, for your Madison listeners, Larry, Poinette is only 20 miles north of Madison.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to get there is take Highway 51 north out of Madison and take that all the way to Highway 22 and stay north on 22 and watch for Highway CS to the left. There's a sandwich board that you'll see along the Highway 22 that says,
go this way.
Go this way. And if you do end up going right up to Poinette on 51, then watch for a sandwich board on the right that says, go this way to your right. So a very convenient location. And like Ruth Ann mentioned, they're talking 55 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day.
Perfect day to get your family outside.
Absolutely. Well, Sonia in Wyoming, state of Wyoming, has a question for you.
Hi.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi, I would like to know, I've got a box elder tree out here in Thermopolis, Wyoming, and I wanted to know what size diameter the trunk had to be before I could tap into it.
We usually suggest that they be at least 10 inches in diameter so that you're not overstressing the tree as you're collecting the sap.
That's what I was afraid of. It had a dieback in our stressed out drought season, and so it's got a bunch of new branches coming back up. So I guess I'll have to wait till it gets bigger again.
You might want to wait. Yeah. There is a very scientific method for measuring the proper diameter, Sonia, and we call it hugging a tree.
And, well, I'm not sure mine's ever going to get that big.
But we tell the kids that if you can reach around the tree and touch your elbows, the tree is too small to tap.
Ah.
You got to give it some love.
I can't even do that. Okay. So you touch your elbows with your hands.
Right. Reach around the tree, and if you can touch your elbows with your hands, the tree is too small to tap.
I've got a long way to go.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Sonia, for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, nice. I haven't had a call from Wyoming before. Matt in Stevens Point. It's your turn. Hi, Matt.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a tree across the street from my house in the city of Stevens Point, nothing above it. And about 20 feet up, there's a branch that's broken, and about a 2-inch diameter, 12-inch long, kind of yellowish icicle has been forming from it. Now there's two icicles I saw this morning, and I'm wondering if that, in fact, is maple sap or some kind of sugar tree sap.
It is. We call those sapsicles.
Sapsicles.
The sap is, you know, moving up and down that tree from the roots all the way up to the buds, and so it's just taking an advantage of an open spot. And so, yeah, it's coming out. It's freezing at night, so you got your sapsicle.
That's a lot of sap. Thanks,
all right, thanks a lot for calling. And Jeff in Vermont Township, on to you now. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Ray. Great show as usual, and ironically calling from Vermont Township, right? So when you get lemons in life, you try to make lemonade. We have more box elders, apparently, than they have in the whole state of Wyoming. And I'm looking to find some materials to tap into them, and I just don't even know where to go.
Where do you get the taps and so forth?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, we might have some ideas on that. What do you think?
Well, there's a couple things you can do, Jeff. You can get on the internet and look up maple syrup producers and buy supplies through them. Or if you have access to a sumac or elderberry bushes in your yard, you can cut small 3 or 4 inch long spiles, we call them, right out of the shoot of the elderberry. That works the best. And take a wire and just poke the center, the pithy material out, and that's a hollow tube. And we kind of sharpen one end of that and tap it into the tree into about a 5/16 inch hole. And we use that for demonstrating to the kids. But if you wanted to get multiple taps, I would recommend the internet, and they're small aluminum spiles, they're called.
And are they just, is there the hole on both, I mean, it's hollow, but are there holes kind of around it so that it, you know, like a flute might look or something?
A spile's, you know, narrower on one end, yeah. Kind of like a little spout.
Okay.
So, yeah, there'll be a hole on both ends, the side you put in the tree and the
But not
part
along the top or the
no.
sides.
It might have a little hook so you could hang a bucket on it. If your spile is nice and long, you can actually set your bucket on the ground and it will...
Oh, far enough out.
Yep, far enough out, and it will drip and reach in. I'd also suggest if you contact a local syrup producer, sometimes when they're upgrading, they might be willing to sell you some of their leftover or older equipment, but that's perfect to get you started.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks a lot for calling, Jeff. Appreciate your call. And Kathy in Richland County, on to you. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a SOS above my house, and you must have seen it. We're new at this. We're only tapping two trees. And, in fact, this morning I finished off a batch from yesterday, cooked it down. I need to know how to know when it's finished. I'm coming up with an amber-colored product that's almost the color of honey. And I did filter it a couple times. I first filtered the sap, you know, brand new. And then I filtered it again when it was about three-quarters of the way cooked down before I, you know, right when I brought it in the house. But it looks like it's like congealed in my jar. And there is a little bit of sediment going on, but it's not dark like rich-looking maple syrup. It looks like thick honey that's kind of congealed. Can you give me some ideas, or do I need to stick a candy thermometer in it, etc.?
Don't worry about the color at this point. The maple syrup does change color with the production methods and the time of the year. But if you do have a candy thermometer, we recommend boiling the sap until it reaches 7 degrees above the boiling point of water.
Okay.
So right at around 219 degrees is where it's going to become maple syrup. It sounds like you've gone a little past the syrup stage, and that's why it's thicker. But maple syrup itself is actually quite thin.
Yeah, it is.
It's not thick like the store-bought.
Well, now, if she did go past, is she out of luck here, or what do you...
Is it going to turn into sugar?
It very well could crystallize and turn into large syrup or large crystals in the bottom of the jar. You could try reheating that, adding some water carefully, and then using your candy thermometer again once you bring it back to boiling and get it to that 219 degree Fahrenheit temperature.
Could I also take it and add it to our next batch, you know, as we're cooking it down?
That's another good idea. Yes, you can certainly do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it could be resurrected that way.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have John in Hollandale, Wisconsin, I believe, next. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I just called up. I'm kind of a newbie to doing this. My boys and I have been doing it about 4 years because they got excited about something in school that they learned about. And we started doing it, and I just... Anyone listening, if you get the opportunity to do it, I think it's a wonderful experience. This year, I think we've made about 10 gallons of syrup, and I've got a couple gallons I need to get boiled down here today. I got about maybe 90 gallons of sap that we need to get at today. So I just called to tell everyone it's a wonderful experience, and but be careful because your kids will become syrup snobs. They won't eat anything. They don't want anything that's that log cabin stuff, anything like that. They don't care for.
We warn you that it's addicting.
So it's wonderful. So I just had a call and joined the show today and just wanted to call.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it, John. You know, we also on our Facebook page, by the way, Judith just posted a photo that one of the McKenzie Center volunteers, Kurt, emailed to us, and he emailed in to say, I'm a volunteer guide at McKenzie Environmental Education Center, and I took this picture of a maple sap dripping into a collection bucket earlier this month. And so we posted that, or Judith posted it on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and so there's a nice picture that will accompany that.
Yep. Great.
Thank you, Kurt.
Yes, thanks very much. Now, an email from or a post on the Facebook page from Nola, which she just basically says, so no hope for real maple syrup in low sugar? Bummer. So she was thinking of, you know, the syrup that you buy in the store that's not maple syrup. You get low calorie.
I don't think so. Unfortunately not.
No, so... But you use less.
You use less, that's correct. It is sweeter than regular sugar.
We have, here's a Facebook comment from Mike Cohn. Maple smashinads, a jigger of brandy or whiskey, a jigger of maple syrup, a dash of bitters, and mixer over the ice. Mix well. Garnish with dead maple leaf dug out of the snow.
Okay.
Well, that's up on the Facebook page, too. So if you want to get that recipe, there it'll be from Mike. Thanks, Mike. And here's Thomas in Manitowoc. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. I just had a couple of comments. One was, to me, the best part of the whole thing was being out in the woods in the evening and hearing the timber doodles out there buzzing and the sandhill cranes flying over. That's probably the
highlight.
The highlight of the whole thing, it gets a person out there in the evening when you hear all the different birds and the red-winged blackbirds and the killdeers and all that. And the other comment was, I know you have a lot of amateurs there from the questions, and if they try to boil maple syrup in their house, I just wanted to issue a warning from other people I know. Who have done that, your walls, windows, and everything will be a sticky mess, and you'll have to wash the whole inside of your house. So before you try doing it as an amateur in your home, that's just a warning.
Do it outside. And you both have comments on that. Thanks a lot, Thomas.
Well, you just have to remember, if it's only coming out of the tree anywhere from 3 to 5% sugar, and you're trying to get it to 66, there's a lot of water. It takes our volunteers probably 8 to 10 hours in a day for 100 gallons of sap to finally make it down, you know, into the syrup stage. So they do that outside on an outdoor evaporator where they can let the steam, you know, release. They don't pull it in the building until almost close to bottling time.
Yeah. However, if you are doing some kitchen remodeling and want to remove your wallpaper, go ahead and boil it on your kitchen stove because it will take the wallpaper right off.
Now, do you have firsthand experience with this, Derek?
It's rumor.
It's rumor. Okay.
But I believe it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing to know. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or you can shoot us an email or make a comment on our Facebook page. Email at talk@WPR.org or the Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd still love to hear from you. There are so many small producers out there. I know there are competitions out there where they have little contests to see which person or which sugar bush is going to win the prize for the best maple syrup.
Well, I know the syrup at McKenzie, was it 2 years ago, I believe, won the blue ribbon at the Columbia County Fair.
All right.
We're very proud of that.
All right. And to buy, what's the best way to connect with a small producer? I suppose in your own community, if there's somebody around, you can check around. But is there a a Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They would be an excellent resource.
Are they? They have a website?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Well, maybe we can put that website up as well. Post that if you're interested in finding a local producer, which I think is a great idea. And, of course, you go to some of the farmers markets around you're going to I've seen maple syrup at the farmers market in Madison and Milwaukee and probably Green Bay as well. So there's opportunities that way. And I want to get back to the festival again. Let's go over that Saturday. It's only on Saturday, right?
This Saturday, April 2nd.
April 2nd, and the time is from 8 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And what are people going to see? Derek, you want to talk about that?
Well, the first thing that we're going to offer them is a video for about a 5-minute video. We escort people into our auditorium, and we'll show about an 8-minute video on how maple syrup is produced. After that, they'll go out and meet up with one of our guides, and they will talk about how to tap a tree and give some information about Wisconsin maple syruping. And then they'll follow our maple trail down to the interpretive area where they'll learn the Native American process for making maple syrup. They'll see how the pioneers boil the syrup in iron kettles. And then they'll go past our outdoor cooker, watch ice cream being made. And then they'll go to our 1860s technology of a flat pan evaporator and watch sap being boiled there, and listen to some outdoor music, and perhaps buy a raffle ticket for a nice prize, have some ice cream and popcorn and hot chocolate and coffee, and just have a wonderful day.
And it's from 8 to noon that you can, there's a pancake breakfast, so you can get yourself started with some pancakes and maple syrup.
Yes, we've got parking control that will stop your vehicle when you enter the facility, ask if you'd like to go to the breakfast first, or take tours first, and they'll direct you to the proper location.
Okay, and I also heard something about dill pickles.
one of the treats to be able to sample on festival day is dill pickles marinated in pure maple syrup. So if you're a big fan of the sweet and sour kind of thing, the pickles would be perfect for you.
I am. I'm going to have to try that. How long do they soak?
I think overnight.
Just overnight?
Yep. Just marinate them for a few hours.
Well, this has been really enjoyable, Derek and Ruth. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I hope we get a great turnout at the McKenzie Center on Saturday.
Sounds
like a lot of fun.
It will be fun. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much. Derek Duane is the director of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center in Poinette. Ruth Ann Lee is the lead educator of the McKenzie Environmental Education Center in Poinette. And again, that festival this Saturday. Go to our Facebook page. You'll learn some more. We'll get you a link to the McKenzie Center, directions on how to get there, and more, a lot more. Plus, some recipes, as I mentioned, and even one for how to make a maple smashinoid.
That's a new one
on me. All right. Well, I hope you can make it, and thanks again to the two of you. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some of the challenges and opportunities for our Wisconsin lakes next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.